Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. As we proceed into the holiday season, and indeed, it is really a beautiful sight out in a city, in New York City.
Yes.
Lights are on, all the windows are decorated, mm-hmm. and there's the big highlight of the holiday decoration, of course, is the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center.
Yeah.
Which is really beautiful.
That's always
fun. But even more spectacular is across from Rockefeller Center is Saks Fifth Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
And they have an amazing light show every year in front of Saks Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
It's really fun. So if you have kids or if you're a kid at heart, go to Fifth Avenue and 49th Street in Manhattan, if you're anywhere in the environs. And take it in. It's just a really festive holiday scene.
Yeah. The Christmas season is always fun in New York.
Indeed. Yeah. So, hopefully you are weathering the season. It's cold.
It's
the germs are looming. Mm. And Christmas stress is upon us as we busily exchange gifts. I don't mean exchange with one another, but gifts that we got online that are the wrong size of that would we hope for. We're exchanging them. We're already, it's got to go back and
they
that's okay.
Go, right.
So, it's lots of UPS traffic. UPS men are happy. They're getting mm-hmm. bonuses and it's all good.
Yeah.
This week, one of the more interesting stories has to do with the phenomenon that we see a lot of these days is that it seems that girls are going through earlier and earlier puberty.
Yeah.
And so if we examine colonial records, and colonial mm-hmm. Americans were great diarists. They wrote down everything. And we also have information about the height mm-hmm. of colonial folks. And they were by and large shorter, as evinced by the fact that if you go to like a colonial village like Williamsburg, you have to kind of stoop down because you might bang your head.
Yeah.
Partly it was to save construction costs, also, heating bills mm-hmm. because, they didn't have those meadow mansions, with the 22-foot ceilings.
Right.
Because you really wanted to conserve heat. But still, people were shorter.
Cathedral ceilings,
and
right.
we attribute a lot of that to nutrition, mm-hmm. And people weren't as over-nutritioned, if such a word exists,
right,
and overfed as they are now. But mm-hmm. there are other factors involved. And, why should that be a problem? Partly it's a sociological issue because girls are achieving sexual maturity at younger and younger ages.
Yeah.
So there's less of an opportunity to experience a childhood. So that's an issue too. And girls are being sexualized at younger and younger ages. They're being encouraged to buy, seductive outfits, mm-hmm. for their seventh grade classroom and on and on it goes. So that's a social phenomenon. But in terms of a medical phenomenon, we're seeing an increase in hormone-related cancers among women. We're seeing a higher risk of not just cancers, but endometriosis. We're seeing a higher risk of cardiovascular disease in these women because once you go through puberty, it stunts your growth. It actually makes you shorter and potentially fatter.
Because you grow to that certain degree and then it all stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and of course, breast cancer, uterine cancer, hormone-related cancers. So what's it all about? Well, it's not just about nutrition because there's an interesting article from University of California, Berkeley, mm-hmm. published in a journal called Human Reproduction. And what they found is that these so-called gender bender chemicals, mm-hmm. endocrine-disrupting chemicals, mm-hmm. that are found in cosmetics and other household products are linked to early puberty in girls, mm-hmm. but less so in boys. And that makes sense because these compounds are estrogenic.
Yeah.
So what they found is a twofold increase in mothers' urine biomarker concentrations of certain chemicals during pregnancy. They can measure these things in the urine during pregnancy, was associated with a significant early average onset of puberty and menstruation in girls. Mm-hmm. And the substances in question were some that are familiar with us, like triclosan, which is in a lot of hand sanitizer and soaps.
Yeah, I think they finally outlawed it. Mm-hmm. But I'm still finding many, many antibacterial soaps on the market. Don't fall for it, people. Don't buy an antibacterial soap. You don't need an antibacterial dishwashing liquid. Yeah. You don't need anything that says antibacterial. We become germ phobes.
And it doesn't. Too much first over. Of all, they're not demonstrated to be much more effective.
Yeah.
And also, they may create antibiotic resistance, and plus they're toxic.
Yeah.
So then there's also these chemicals with lovely names like monoethyl phthalate. Mm-hmm. We know that phthalate isn't plastics.
Yes.
And 2,4-dichlorophenol, which I don't know where that comes into the cosmetic industry, but they say that in laboratory studies, these chemicals have been shown to cause earlier puberty in rats. But there are very few studies in humans. Well, now there is one. The chemicals are used widely in everyday products. Phthalates are commonly used in fragrances. Triclosan, frequently appearing in soaps and toothpaste due to its antibacterial properties, although less so. I think it's being withdrawn.
Yeah.
Exposure to these chemicals outside the womb was also associated with early puberty in girls. So, you know, childhood exposure, you know, kids using these products. Methylparabens are in a lot of cosmetics,
yes,
shampoos.
And I believe they're also known to be carcinogenic as well.
Yeah.
Well, so, all of these are known to be carcinogenic via the xenoestrogen.
So in a companion study looking at the effects of, you know, some of these Teflon-like substances that are used on nonstick pans, they're called PFOs, perfluorohydrocarbons, or PFHs, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And the exposure to those things in males is associated with a reduction in the size of the male genitals.
Oh, my.
In utero, you know. So that should get men's attention.
Totally.
I mean, cancer, you know, I'm not worried about that. I'll keep smoking, but...
Pregnant moms should not use Teflon-coated skillets.
Right. It gets you where you live. I mean, that's a major concern of men.
It gets you where you live.
Think of all the, you know, these bogus products that men purchase to enlarge their prowess, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And one way of, you know, gaining a few centimeters in length is to avoid exposure.
A few centimeters?
Yes. Centimeters, centimeters. You say centimeter, I say centimeter.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
It's that Oxford training of mine.
Yeah.
You know, we went to Oxford and Cambridge, and you know, I developed a polished accent.
I speak American.
Okay. Well, let's speak American for the rest of this podcast. Fine. So these are... I mean, these are consequential. And, you know, when we talk about deregulation and lifting regulations, because regulation is really strangling the American economy in some ways, you know, and but there's a sort of a deregulatory fervor in Washington. We have to be kind of wary of that, because if it allows proliferation of more of these chemicals, then we're putting our population at risk. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, people worry about China, you know, China will eclipse us, China will surpass us, you know, they're going to bury our economy, you know, by a certain date, they'll have, you know, a bigger GDP than America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, because the way they're burning their bridges environmentally and ecologically, because the horrible pollution that they've unleashed on the Chinese populace is going to really throttle down their popularity. I mean, their productivity. And it will have an expensive effect on that economy and a demoralizing effect on that economy. They can't win by shortcutting environmental controls.
That's true. Hmm. For a communist country, they're very capitalist.
Yeah,
that
well,
way in,
however, in many of these communist countries, like in Eastern Europe, the model was, you know, expand the economy at all costs without, you know, sufficient environmental controls to the peril of the populace.
Yeah.
You know, burn coal. You
we
know,
don't want that. We want
build
clean,
faulty nuclear reactors.
We want clean air. We want clean water. We want manufacturing because it's the economy, stupid, right? That is absolutely true. We need more economically, but not at the expense of our health.
Yeah.
And, I hope it doesn't go there.
And any of the American chemical industry is a very powerful lobby, and they poo-poo these studies. They call them junk science in some cases.
That's true.
But we have to pay attention to that. You know, we see what's happening to animals in the wild. They're having issues with fertility, and they're, you know. I mean, there's a famous story of the alligator penises, and that the alligators, true story. I mean, it's that in the Florida Everglades, the alligators are having genital malformations. And,
wow.
And so you're saying, well, that, you know, alligators, I don't really care about alligator penises. I mean, yeah, it's kind of an interesting, you know, factoid. But when it starts applying to the human population, then we have to pay attention.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, wow. And these, many of these chemicals promote estrogenic effects and actually diminish male attributes because they're estrogenic. Xenoestrogens do that. And many chemicals
have
that
effect.
They're
turning them into hermaphrodites.
Yeah, yeah.
To a degree,
hermaphroditic,
right?
Hermaphroditic alligators.
Wow. That is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. They call them gender benders.
Gender benders.
Okay. So, okay. Enough of that. Let's get to questions. And by the way, we invite your questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the holidays, and there's a little bit of a paucity of questions. We're always ahead of the game, but I want to make sure that we have plenty of questions in the hopper for, you know, as we turn the corner on January 2019, because we'd like to field your questions. So radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. No question is a stupid question.
Right.
Because they all are illustrative of some point or another. So let's hear what our listeners have to say this week.
Okay. We have an email. We don't have a name on this email, but they say, my 36-year-old son-in-law has low T. For everybody out there, that means low testosterone. Low T, prolactin, and a pituitary tumor.
Increased prolactin.
Increased prolactin. Is that what that I in front of prolactin means?
Yeah, increased.
Increased prolactin and a pituitary tumor. Can you provide information on this?
Well, it sounds like what this person is suffering from is a prolactinoma, right? Because what were the attributes of that? Decreased testosterone, increased prolactin, and a pituitary tumor.
And a pituitary tumor.
Okay, so a prolactinoma, it's actually fairly common.
Doesn't the pituitary tumor come first?
The pituitary tumor comes first, and it overproduces prolactin, which suppresses testosterone. And so it's a benign, non-cancerous tumor of the pituitary gland that produces a hormone called prolactin. It's actually the most common type of pituitary tumor. The pituitary is located within the brain.
Yeah.
At sort of the base of the brain. And
it's like the master and commander.
And what can happen is that sometimes it can enlarge the point where it causes visual problems. And it require surgery. And the surgery, it's kind of interesting. I mean, you can also use certain drugs to suppress that. But what also happens when you have a tumor that presses on the pituitary is you suppress a lot of the other pituitary hormones, such as growth hormone, ACTH, which causes stimulation of
the adrenals.
Of the adrenals to produce cortisol. TSH, which comes from, actually TRH, which then causes the pituitary to produce TSH, which then goes to the thyroid to produce thyroid hormone. And also,
it's almost like taking out the second captain of the ship.
Yeah, it's like the master gland. And so you can have all kinds of manifestations of that. So it's more common in women than in men.
That's interesting.
This is a male?
This is a male with
low T, right?
36-year-old. Yeah. So do you give this 36-year-old male more testosterone? Do you
take the tumor out?
No,
the correct treatment is to remove the tumor. But there are actually drugs like bromocriptine, that reduced prolactin.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on if it's not super big, then maybe you can use a medication.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm not the world's expert on management of this relatively rare condition, but a surgery can be done. Now, it's interesting, when they do surgery, you know, you think brain surgery, they got to crack the skull and go through the top of the head or the side of the head. Actually, they go through the palate.
Through the palate.
Yeah.
I know they could also go through the nose. Yeah.
They go through the nose. Yeah. They go through the nose. Yeah, yeah. They can go through the nose to get to that,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is, so it seems like an awfully big and dangerous surgery, but actually it's fairly routine now to treat that. And, you know, diagnosed through blood tests, but sometimes it comes to the attention through visual changes of like double vision, you know, pressure on the optic nerve, mm-hmm. because the pituitary kind of sits at the juncture of the optic nerves where they cross.
Yeah. I wonder, since we were just talking about gender benders, how much that impacts pituitary
tumor.
I don't think it does.
It's not clear. Uh-huh. It really is unclear why it occurs. Mm-hmm. You know, is the pituitary having to overwork? Is it being stressed? Is it? Mm-hmm. No, it's not clear why it should arise.
Okay. Want to thank you for this question. Wow. And best of luck to your
son-in-law. It brings up an important point because let's say a young man of 24 comes in and he says, I'm tired and I have no sex drive. And, you know,
I'd say stop smoking pot.
Right. Yeah.
Rule out the most obvious things first.
Stop drinking too much. Right.
Stop partying.
You would. And that's correct.
That's where I'd look first.
And mostly they're going to say, thanks. I feel much better. Thank you.
Yay. Okay.
But then they come back and they say, it's not doing it. It's not cutting it.
Yeah.
Doc, can you give me some testosterone? Because I'm watching on TV, there's all these commercials about testosterone. So can you give me some testosterone? So the temptation is to say, well, you know, you have very low testosterone and you're 24. Let's give you some testosterone. But what you have to do as part of the workup is you have to check prolactin levels, because rarely that prolactin will be the cause of that testosterone.
If the prolactin is increased.
You know, 62-year-old male comes in and he's overweight and he's kind of losing it and low T and all that stuff.
Metabolic syndrome.
It's less likely that it's going to be caused by a prolactinoma.
Yeah.
I mean, as a formal matter, part of the workup might be to rule out prolactinoma. But I've never been burned in treating an older man with testosterone and missing a prolactinoma. But you have to be wary in younger men.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's amazing the results that I see after you've prescribed. I'm talking about the men in their 60s, older and all that, getting that testosterone and what a difference it makes in their lives.
Yeah, and we've seen many instances
their
in this
outlook,
practice.
Their energy.
Yeah. It's a wonderful antidepressant for many of them.
Yes. Good stuff.
And then they exercise and then they lose their metabolic syndrome. They build muscle.
Yeah.
They lose fat, they become more fit, their insulin resistance disappears, the hemoglobin A1C goes from 6.4 to 5.6, and it's all good.
All of that. Blood pressure gets better, outlook gets better. Absolutely. Okay. Wow. All right. On to the next question we have from Jamie. Do you still recommend Spry gum, even though it's made in China?
Well, so first of all, you know, let's just stipulate that not all things that come from China are bad. It's just that it's kind of an unreliable source of raw materials.
Yeah.
But frankly, many of the raw materials that are used in U.S. supplements come from China because they are much more economical. It's a matter of, you know, when you have slim margins on products, you're going to look for the most economical source. And the companies that I deal with are very careful about vetting the products. They have ways of assaying the products for purity, for potency, to rule out contaminants, and then it's okay. Because not just because it's a very unregulated there, it's a wild west, but you know, the Chinese are concerned about their brand, and I think they're making efforts to clean that up. It's just that they, in terms of regulatory, are sort of where we were in the 1919s, you know,
that's
like
true.
they're just
the air quality is
they're just not putting in place a reliable regulatory apparatus. And, you know, some people accuse them of deliberately trying to undermine America. You know, there's one of the things that is happening is that, and Trump has tweeted about this, is that China is one of the world's major producers of illicit fentanyl.
Yes.
You know, and it's...
I saw that tweet.
Right? You saw the tweet? Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, he's nudging the Chinese to like, hey, you got to rein it in because there are going to be consequences. You know, because A, it's very profitable. It's a source of foreign exchange. And B, it's all good because Americans get, you know, addicted and dysfunctional and die. So it's almost like an insidious form of guerrilla warfare. Now let's get to SPRY, okay?
Because the question was about SPRY.
Right, so SPRY, the main ingredient in SPRY is xylitol.
Yep.
And xylitol was first discovered in Finland because it's from birch trees, made from tree bark, and it's actually refined from tree bark. And
Very good against dental caries.
Yep. The xylitol, though, from Finland is very expensive. And so I know the company, I know Clear, because XLEAR, that makes Spry gum, they had to search worldwide for the most economical source. And they found a source in China. And that source is very carefully vetted because xylitol has a chemical signature. And, you know, you can assay it and you can see if there's contaminants. And it's not hard to do product safety controls on a source, on a product like that. And they're very scrupulous about that. The problem is now we're putting tariffs on Chinese raw materials, and they're complaining that this is actually cutting their margin because, you know, it's expensive to make the product, it's expensive to market the product. They're left with a certain margin. That margin shrinks. They have, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to have to raise the price of the product, pass it along to the consumers. The consumers are going to say it's too expensive. So this is an example of where the trade embargoes or the trade tariffs are putting a little bit of strain on the supply chain for products.
And we're seeing some of that angst reflected in the stock market of late.
Maybe there's a way that we can get xylitol. Have I been saying xylos? I mean to say xylitol. Xylitol. They're different because xylose is a sugar and xylitol is a sugar alcohol.
Yes, xylose. Okay, right. OSC. Yeah.
So xylitol from a U.S. market, it's going to be more expensive.
Yes.
And, you know, while good for the economy, the domestic economy, it's going to have ramifications for the price of the product and maybe the success of the product.
But when you do cost-benefit analysis to chewing Spry gum to prevent dental cavities and the amount that you would pay your dentist... to, you know, drill your teeth and put in hopefully composite fillings now, no more mercury. I don't know.
That's a rational calculation, but
it'd be worth it.
But people's consumer decisions are not made on rational calculus.
That's true.
They're just going to say, oh, that gum.
Oh, that's too expensive.
Yeah, that gum's more expensive now. Right. Now, by the way, I'm speaking, you know, out of my hat here. I don't even know if they're even contemplating raising the price. Because, you know, they may just...
Just a possibility.
Yeah.
Just a possibility. So, Spry gum made in China?
Still a fan.
Why not?
Still a fan.
Still a
and
fan.
Also,
great.
It's the same xylitol that goes into Clear nasal spray. And I have zero concerns about that. I use the product.
Yes. That's a terrific product.
It's okay.
Yeah. It's no harm. It's not a steroid nose spray. It's not anything that...
Inhibits the growth of bacteria.
Exactly.
And it's a very, very good product.
Breaks up biofilms.
Right.
Yeah. Jamie, thank you for your question. Okay.
Well, do you realize?
No way.
Yeah. Time-wise, we were having fun.
We just got started. We were talking about Teflon.
All right. Hold your horses. Okay. We're going to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. And give us a preview of what we're going to tackle in part two.
Oh, my 15-year-old grandson with terrible acne. He has terrible acne and he can't tolerate fruit.
It's a little bit of a non sequitur, but we'll
address
that.
Yeah, are they related? I wonder.
Yeah. But we'll tackle that in part two.
Okay.
Nutritional strategies for dealing with acne when we return. Today, I'm with Layla Mutin, who's our nutritionist in residence, master's degree in nutrition, as well as a registered dietitian. We won't hold that RD against you, but it's okay. You've been a registered dietitian. But you've been deprogrammed, successfully deprogrammed, and now you're free to make.
And a lot of my colleagues have been deprogrammed as well. So.
You no longer prescribe Jell-O?
No. Okay. Or Ensure.
No, okay.
No.
Thank you. I just wanted to reestablish your bona fides. And when we return, we'll tackle some more questions for you. By the way, radioprogram@AOL.com is the place to send your questions. It's a good time of year to get to the hit of the line. Because we need your questions as fodder for our weekly Q&A with Layla.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.